Begin reading at verse number 1. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I want to preach to you tonight on stretcher bearers. Stretcher bearers. Do you know about Jesus tonight? Oh, yes, we do. Do you really know about Jesus? Well, yes, Brother Willie, he's the Son of God, and he's wonderful. And but have you considered tonight that he is still a miracle worker? You know, it's very easy to become discouraged and disillusioned when situations don't come to pass as we think perhaps they should. And it's very easy to become overwhelmed by those situations. And so I just felt compelled. Just compelled. I don't know of another word. I felt compelled to remind you that we serve a miracle working God. Hallelujah. Probably every person in this building could say and could bring to our attention a situation that needs God's miracle working power. The scripture told us through reading them that the lame were walking, the blinded eyes were being opened, the dead were being raised, even, oh hallelujah, even the winds of the sea, the waves and all that was involved in nature, even these things were obedient unto what Jesus said. These verses that I read to us tonight gives us about three things that just does a whole lot for me. Talked about the authority of Jesus to be able to forgive sins, and I'm so glad tonight he can still do that. If it were not for the Lord tonight, where would we be? We'd be lost. We'd be without hope. Those that have already died would be dead in their sins and in their trespasses. But Jesus Christ has the authority tonight to forgive those sins. He still has the power to heal. Hallelujah. And then I also noticed the responsibility that we have as believers to bring somebody to the Lord. Amen. You know what? I believe when you have these three ingredients, there's no limit what God might do in this service tonight. So let's notice here for just a few minutes. And I'm gonna do my best to just preach what the Lord's laid on my heart and then give it to you, and let us pray and just endeavor to find the Lord's will tonight. He entered into Capernaum, And it was broadcast around that Jesus was there, and so many people responded to what was transpiring that the house where Jesus was, it was filled. People just packed that house completely full. And the Bible said, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Look at these men. I don't know if they really knew or if they really understood all that was about to transpire. All they knew was that perhaps he could do something for their friend. There's not a lot that we know about these four men. We're not given their names. We're not told anything about them. We're not told their ages. We're not told their position in life. We're not talking, we haven't learned how long they followed Jesus or if they were really followers at all. We're not told anything whatsoever. What we do know about them was that they were concerned about their sick friend. They were moved, if I could put it this way, they were moved with compassion because of his disability. They perhaps, even in their realizing that he had a need, they realized he's done something for somebody else. Could it be that he would do something for our friend? Could it be that if we could get him to him, that he could do something for him? They were burned enough then, not only to believe that something could happen, but they were burned enough that they said they went to the fella and they said, we're taking you to where Jesus is. Well, what if he didn't want to go? Well, he didn't have a whole lot of choice in the matter. He was going one way or the other. He was going to get to the master one way or another. You know what, folks? The Bible tells us that where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, what did it say? He said he will be in their midst. He's going to be there with them. And when people do not go, you know what happens to them? They die in their sins. They die in their iniquities. And then, folks, today, and then most are going away from the Lord. They're going in their own direction. And then some are even straddling the fence. And not finding the direction that the Lord wants him to go. And then when people don't do what God wants him to do, then they find out that they're not able to handle anything. They can't handle any situation of life. They can't face any difficulties. They can't face any hardships that come along. But the Bible said these four men saw that they had a friend and he was in need, and they saw that perhaps Jesus could do something about that situation. Could I just tell you tonight, folks, that God's not always looking for a Billy Graham. God's not always looking for a great evangelist. He's not always looking for a pastor that can take the church to the heights of success. But what I am telling you tonight, he is looking for somebody that's willing to look at their friend and say, you need some help, and here's somebody that can help you, and I'm going to get you to it. What he's asking us tonight then, church, is to take the burden on our own hearts and to be willing to say, God can do something for you, and I'm going to reach out and help you. Even if you cannot get to the Lord, I'm going to do my best to get you to it. And so these four men came, got their friend, and took him to Jesus. I was thinking, and I was reading back through a portion of scripture that talked about when the city of Samaria was bound up and famine had taken over the land, and the Bible said that they had lost everything. They had no food. The enemy had come around and set themselves in array all around the city there. But the Bible said there was four leprous men that sat outside the gate, and they said, why sit we here till we die? They said, let's arise and go into the camp of the enemy. He said, you know, if we stay here and sit right here, we're going to die. If we go into the city that we're part of, then we're going to die there. But he said, their mind might be a chance. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? There might be a chance that they will save us alive if we go down there. No, that didn't look good. They were lepers, and they didn't have much of a chance. But they said, it just might be that God will help us some way in this situation. And the Bible said that those four leprous men, in their sickness, in their lack of ability, in their weakness, they headed toward that camp of the enemy. But oh, hallelujah. The Bible said that God made it sound like there was a vast army that was approaching. You say, Brother Willie, we got to have this, and we got to have that, and we got to have something else. No, what we got to have is four people that will say, if God will be our helper, then we'll move forward in the power of the Spirit. Amen. We may not know what he's going to do. We may not understand what he's going to do. Amen. But folks, if there might be a chance tonight that God would reach out and touch somebody's heart by us, then glory be to God. Amen. Step out from where you're at and say, I'm willing to be a stretcher bearer. I'm willing to pick up my side of the situation, and I'm willing to march out in that direction. There might be just a chance. Amen. I've heard testimonies. I've heard requests in the last few days. Amen. Sister Nancy had requested prayer. Others have requested prayer for lost folks and folks with sickness. And then folks could have just tell you they were situations that nobody could do nothing about. But there was a help. There was a chance that God could do something. And then somebody interceded. Somebody prayed. And then somebody picked up the side of that stretcher and said, I'll help carry the burden. I'll help get you to where you need to be. I don't know necessarily what the Lord can do, but I'm going to get you there the best way I can. And when they came into the camp, they had just fell on each other, killed each other, and such a mighty slaughter. And they said, let's just turn right into this tent right here and just get a little bite to eat, and then let's take it in the house, take what's in there, and let's run and hide it, because they might be back at just any minute. So they did that. They ran in there. They got a little bit. They come back out, and they went back in. They said, oh, let's go do one more time. Let's do one. And you know what? Finally, one of them said, you know what? We're not doing right. For he said, there's a whole city back there that's in need of what we're out here. And he said, evidently, there's nobody here and nobody coming back. So they went back to the king's gate, and they said, oh, king, here's what's transpired. They said, we don't believe a word you're saying. Why should we believe you? You're just leprous men. You don't have anything. He said, well, we're not starving to death anymore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the king said, take the horses that are left and go out to the camp and see if what he says has happened has really happened. And the Bible said they got out there and it was just like those four leprous men had said. I'm telling you tonight, folks, it's not a made up story. It's not a made up gospel. Amen. Let them come and see. Hallelujah. Let them come and see for themselves if it's really the truth tonight. And when they touch him, they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Amen. That he really is real. Amen. This old story that we're talking about tonight, this old story that we're proclaiming, it's not just a story, but it's reality in our hearts and our lives tonight. In that early church, the Bible said in Acts 8 and verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Why are we doing anything? Oh, hallelujah. Well, I had the privilege last night to go up to Bartlesville, and Brother Joseph Gans was testifying. He mentioned about a fellow that he worked with, and the fellow told Joe, he said, I came by your church Sunday night. He said, I was on my way to a Merle Haggard concert, and he said, I drove by your church, and he said, I seen the doors were open, and he said, I could sense that there was something going on there. And he said, you know, Joe, he said, I'm 28 years old, I have a wife and children, but he said, I tell you, he said, there was such a draw into that place. He said, I didn't think I was going to be able to get on past the building. Hey, let me tell you, folks, it's still real tonight. Hallelujah. It's not a figment of our imagination. And then I've been telling you, I've been praying, God, would you just set something out in this area that when somebody goes by, that they can sense it and they can feel it. And when we carry it out of this place, and then that we carry this gospel to somebody, if we can find somebody that needs it, that they'll accept this message of Jesus Christ. The believers, all the believers ministered. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave us the ability. He gave us what we were going to need to be able to function as a body. But glory be to God. Folks, a body that has anything does not stay confined in one little area, but a body that wants to move, a body that is alive. And then she gets out and she walks, she talks, she moves. She moves among those that are out there. Folks, there's a world out there tonight that needs to know this Jesus that I'm telling you about. And then not just a religious figure, but reality. And so these four men came bringing their friend to the Lord. And verse 4 said, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They got to the house with an expectancy that Jesus was just going to do whatever. I don't know that they knew what all he was going to do, but he was going to do something. But do you know, can you understand the disappointment that they must have experienced when they got to the house and they could not even get in the building? The house was just too crowded. You know, if we could just get in this building some way. If we could get in the front door, if you all would get out of the way! Sit down so at least we can see! You know. No, that's not King James Version. I know they didn't say that, but... You know, that's what I'd have said. We come all this way with this fella, and he's not alive, and we can't even get in the house. Please let us in. Let us get through this situation. And you know what? There was an obstacle there, and there are always obstacles. And as long as we look at the obstacle and see how it cannot be done, we will never be able to get anything accomplished. But if we realize tonight that the person we're bringing, this person that's sick too, is able to do something, then if we can just get them to him. And they looked up. They looked up. And they found a solution. What are we going to do? How can we get this situation accomplished? How can we get the help that he needs along this way? You know what one writer said? Few solutions come when we are down or looking down, but they come when we look up. And you know what? One of those men, I don't know if it just come to all of them at one time, and they looked at each other and said, around the side of that house they went, which the homes in those days, many of them were built with staircases around the outside of the house, went up onto the upstairs of the house where there was an embattlement around the outside. And they, many times there was table or chair or someplace up there so they could catch the cool breeze in the evening. And they went up on top of that house. Amen, folks, they were looking for a solution. Could I just tell you tonight, folks, that prayer will always be the overcomer. Prayer will always get you to the place that you need to be. Amen. The roof provided a route to get their friend to Jesus Christ. You said it's going to get dirty. And when you deal with sinners, it will get dirty. So you don't have to scream. I can hear you. Well, I want you to hear what I'm saying. It's going to get dirty when you're dealing with sinners. It's not a pretty thing. It's a messy situation when you're dealing with a sinner. If you don't want to get your hands dirty, then don't pick up nobody's stretcher. It will be costly. For they said, what are we going to do now? We're up here on the roof. Well, we're going to have to tear the roof off. With my hands? Well, whatever you got to do to get the roof off. Whatever the cost, we got to get somebody to Jesus Christ. We have got to get them from where they are to Jesus Christ. Look, they're the ones that's broken. They're the ones that their lives are a mess. Their lives are destroyed. Amen. If we really believe we got the goods. Hallelujah. Gladly, with rejoicing, with excitement in our heart, we'll pick up the carrier, pick up the stretcher, and say, we're going to get you there. And when there is an obstacle, I don't know how everybody's going to get saved. I don't know how anybody's going to get saved. But I do know there is a Savior, and there is a way to get them to Him. If I have to go through the roof, if I have to go through the wall, if I have to dig underneath, whatever I got to do to get that person to Jesus Christ, whatever the cost, we've got to get them to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, the man that was sick laying there. You know what? It's one thing to let people move you. But it's something else to be laying flat on your back and people putting you down through the roof. You know what? I'm not real crazy about heights and folks, you know, wanting to... getting up on the roof and coming down the ladder. I just say, just leave the ladder alone. Just leave it alone. If it falls on my cord, then it, so be it. You don't shake the ladder. Leave the ladder alone. I'll get down by myself. You know, I cannot imagine laying on a stretcher and having somebody let you down through somebody else's roof. You know what? That'd cause you to have a heart attack just by itself. This fellow was probably in no condition by the time he got to where Jesus was. And Jesus, when he saw their faith. Whose faith? The stretcher bearers. Again, did they understand everything that was about to transpire? No. They just knew that whatever he does, it'll be all right. You remember what Mary told the servants when they were at the wedding of Cana? She said, you do whatever he tells you to do. Did Mary know what all was going to transpire? No. But the faith was there to believe for whatever. Hallelujah. And these four men, they didn't know what was going to happen, but they said, if we can just get him to Jesus, something will happen. Something will transpire. Amen. The Bible said, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that just blew them out of the house. I mean, those old Pharisees and Sadducees, that you could just see them puffing up, just swelling. I mean, just their self-righteousness, their haughtiness, their whatever. I mean, it probably didn't take a whole lot of spiritual discernment to detect the spirit that was in that service that day. And Jesus said, Why are you worrying about all these things in your heart? Why are you trying to reason all this situation out? He said, you know, let's just bring it down to where we're living. He said, which is easier to say and get the proof, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up your bed and walk? And he said, so that you will know that the Son of Man hath the power both to heal the lame man and to forgive his sins. And he turned to the lame man and he said, take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth. Amen. One writer said four had faith when they left, and five had faith when they returned. It was not the same situation. Son, thy sins. Folks, that's what we're desiring tonight. If somebody gets healed in the process, then we're going to shout glory. Hallelujah. But if they come to know the Lord, forgiveness. Scribes didn't like it. They didn't care one bit about the whole situation. But you know what? Can you imagine what must have happened in heaven? Well, the writer said that heaven rejoices over one. Just one that repents of his sins. Rejoicing over the conversion and the healing of that lame man was just a natural occurrence. You know what, folks? It's not a matter of, is the people getting saved, are they rich? And it's not a matter of, are the people getting saved poor? It's not a matter of, are the people getting saved well, or are they sick? Are they black, or are they white? Do they have one car, or do they have three cars, or do they have no vehicles? That doesn't matter at all. What matters is they're getting saved. Let me read you the words of a song. And this is just man's. This is just an inspirational song. It's not King James Version. It's just inspirational, okay? So just understand that. It says, one day four men brought a crippled man to Jesus. Still and lifeless, he lay upon his bed. He had not moved since he was just a baby. Still, he longed to become a normal man. Now, we don't know much about the men that carried the corners of his tattered bed that day. But if we may create an illustration, we'll see what these men might have had to say. Suppose that first man said, I have to doubt it, for Jesus touched my eyes when I was blind. He made me see, and there's no doubt about it. But this man's need are more serious than mine. Suppose that second said, no need to bother. This man's condition will remain the same. Though Jesus touched my hand when it was withered, I don't believe he can heal the man that is lame. Suppose that third man said, I hate to question, but no one here is more skeptical than me. Though Jesus cleansed me when I was a leper, this helpless man will never walk, you see. Then every eye was turned to the fourth man to see how he might criticize and doubt. But all three men were startled with amazement when that fourth man stopped and said his name out loud. He said, my name is Lazarus. Could I testify? Oh, hallelujah. My name is Lazarus, and it feels good to be alive. When I in chains of death was bound, this man named Jesus called me out. If you think your little problem is too big for him to solve, take it from the one who heard the mighty voice of God, a living testimony of his death-defying touch. My name is Lazarus. Oh, folks, and I don't know that it happened that way, but if it could have, if it might have happened that way, something arose in those men's heart, amen, and they took that fella to Jesus, and Jesus healed him, and he saved him, and that man went home a changed man. Oh, folks, I'd just like to be one of those that pick up the stretcher, amen, and get somebody to Jesus Christ, amen. I don't know how they're going to get there. I don't know when they'll get there. It might not even be on Sunday morning. It might be Thursday night or Saturday afternoon, but I'd like to get them to that one that can change their life and make them over anew. And then I ask you, do you know this Savior tonight? And then the one who's able to do all these things. I'd like to be that stretcher bearer. And verse 12 said, immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. He glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Many years ago, my dad was pastoring a church in Verdon, Oklahoma. And the church had been praying, and God had began to move, and they were having prayer meeting, and the presence of the Lord was there in a wonderful way. And they had been praying for lost souls. One Sunday night, my dad was preaching. In the middle of his sermon, the back door opened. And in those days, we didn't have a foyer. When you opened the front door, you were in the auditorium. I mean, it was just like right there. They opened the door, and they stepped into the auditorium. And of course, you know how we Pentecostal folks are. When the door opens, every head has to turn and see who happened to be coming in late, of all things, in the middle of the preaching. And so everybody turned as that old door opened. And in walked a fellow by the name of Jim Anthony. Jim was about 6'4", weighed probably close to 300 pounds. He was a bike rider. Jim had had an accident on his motorcycle and had just crushed one of his legs. And he had his little boy with him, and he was probably 6 or 7 years old at that time. And the little boy opened the door, and Jim, on his crutches, stepped up into the auditorium, and the little boy shut the door. And when Jim lifted his head, the tears were just running down his face. And my dad said, Jim, won't you just come on to the altar? He said, preacher, that's the reason I'm here. Down that aisle he came, and he sat on that altar right there, that big old fella. Dad said, what's the matter, Jim? He said, preacher, my leg is hurting so bad. He said, the doctors told me that if it doesn't start to heal in a few days, that I'm facing amputation and I may never walk again. And I really need God to change my heart. I need the Lord to save me. And you know what? He just cried and prayed and God gloriously saved him. And it wasn't but a few weeks he went back to the doctor and the doctor said, Jim, I don't understand it, but your leg's starting to heal. It's just completely different than it was before. And in a few weeks his wife got saved. They'd been having trouble. God baptized him and her both in the Holy Ghost and changed their lives completely. What are you saying, folks? If you can get them to the Lord, hallelujah. Amen. I don't mean necessarily in Landmark Tabernacle. If you can get them to the Lord in Walmart, then pray for them in Walmart. If you can pray for them out on the street, then pray for them wherever you are, wherever you meet them. If you can get that message to them, what if they don't respond? That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is just get them there. And the Lord does the saving. He does the changing. Amen. I'd like to challenge you tonight. Pick up the end of that stretcher. You say, Brother Willie, there's only one of me. But you know what? I guarantee if you'll pick up one end, somebody else somewhere will pick up the other side. And you will not have to carry it all by yourself. Amen. There's stretcher bearers that are needed tonight. Somebody to carry the lost to Jesus Christ. Stand with me this evening, would you? Lord, thank you for each one that's in this building tonight. Lord, I just thank you for the effort on these folks' part to just come to the house of God on Wednesday night. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen those that are tired and those that are in need of physical help. I pray that you'd just restore and help and encourage them tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would take my feeble attempts to challenge tonight and that you would just get a hold of our lives and our hearts, Lord. And oh, Lord, that we'd become so burdened for lost souls that we just look for an opportunity to pick up a stretcher and to get somebody to Jesus. Lord, we're asking tonight that you would use us as instruments in your hands. Use us as a witness, as a vessel, that somebody might come to know you. Touch now, Father. We're going to praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to the altar tonight. If you need to go, you need to be dismissed, you please feel free to be dismissed. But I'd just like to challenge you tonight to just say, Brother Willie, I'd like to pick up the stretcher. And you know what? I found that if I pick up the stretcher on somebody else's friend or family, that somebody will pick up the stretcher on my family. I can't always be there to do it and to tell them. But if I'll be faithful here, God will be faithful in Anadarko, Oklahoma, to send somebody by my sister and remind her. Somebody will come by and get her to the Lord. Somebody will touch her. The Lord's just seeking for stretcher bearers tonight. Amen. And I just want to encourage you. Do what you can. Just do what you can. Come on, let's find us a place in this altar tonight. Let's ask the Lord to use us. Let's ask the Lord to use us as an instrument. Lord, use me to win somebody. Let them see the joy of the Lord in my heart. Let them see the presence of God.